Hey, you. Yeah, that's right. I'm talking to you. Are you looking for the best way to promote your podcast? It's easy. Just advertise your podcast to your ideal target audience. That's right, listeners of similar podcasts. Podbean has the best and most cost-effective options for you. Just go to the website sponsorship.podbean.com/STR. That's right, your friends here at Scout Team Radio are hooking you up. Go to sponsorship.podbean.com/STR and you will get the best deals to get your podcast rolling. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy Scout Team Radio.
Yeah. You want to like them, but you can't.
Are you listening?
What?
Are you listening?
Did you bring me on this show to insult me?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all don't want it with us, man. You straight gangsters over here.
Straight gangsters. Yeah, welcome back on this beautiful Wednesday morning. You are listening to Scout Team Radio. I am one of your gracious co-hosts. They call me Loudbeard.
You are the most egotistical, self-deluded person I have ever met.
And all of that is true. And the man on the other microphone, he is a great patriot, he is a great American, and he loves the colors red, white, and blue.
America! America!
Yeah, it's your boy, Chris America, coming to you live this... What is it? Shoot, I lost track of my days. Is it Wednesday?
March 20th, Wednesday.
March 20th, Wednesday, March 20th. Sorry, I was just looking at this 72-year-old grandfather, Arthur DeBose, who was a newly discovered hip-hop artist. So, never too late to live out your dreams there, Loudbeard.
No, it's never too late to live out your dreams. And today's March 20th, right? It's a beautiful day. And I just want to throw out some happy birthday wishes out there. Today is Daniel Cormier's birthday. I don't know if you knew that or not. It is
who?
Also... Who? Boo? Are you
Do
booing?
Do I get to guess? Do I get to guess his age?
No. I didn't write down his age. I have no idea what his age is. You can guess it, though. I'll say yes or no. Go ahead.
39.
No. So Daniel Cormier, it's his birthday today. Super fan Spike Lee, it's his birthday. And may he rest in peace.
58.
Mr. Rogers, it was his birthday today also. May he rest in peace.
He would have been 78.
All of those are true. You're right. I think I'm going to say you're right on all of those.
Wrong,
I have no idea.
Wrong. You're wrong.
Jeez, Loudbeard, you could have just said I wasn't right, okay?
You know what else today is? It's
today
National Ravioli Day. It's
oh, ravioli. Man.
Now did you know
Chef,
that?
Does Chef Boyardee count?
Yeah, it counts. Any kind of ravioli. Now, I'm sure like an authentic Italian chef would not think that Chef Boyardee is a great way to... eat a ravioli.
I'm sure the Twitter food snobs will tell you that it doesn't count.
Now my daughter, she will eat herself like 10 cans of ravioli in a sitting. She loves the chef, man. That is the good stuff there. Now, if you're going to put up there, like if we did a Mount Rushmore of like Italian food, would ravioli be up there on your Mount Rushmore?
Not for me.
No?
I mean, it depends on what it's stuffed with, right? The stuffing has a lot to do with it. It's just such a heavy, heavy meal to where you eat like three and you're already full. I'm more like a fettuccine Alfredo kind of guy.
Oh, okay. That's not a bad choice. See, if I win, I'm looking at top four. I'm going to count pizza, even though it's more American. We're going to call that an Italian food. So if I go pizza, spaghetti, lasagna, ravioli, boom, that's my Mount Rushmore of Italian foods. On this ravioli day, I'm just letting the world know that's my Mount Rushmore.
You should tweet it and then watch you get responses. Because, again, the Twitter food snob mafia is a real thing. And I don't even know when this became a thing either. Where we're just like, if you put pepperoni on your spaghetti, you are dead to me.
Yeah. Why do you care what I put on my spaghetti?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do I care?
What difference does it make to you? Now, I get it. If you bring potato salad with raisins to the party, then I get it because you're putting your life choices on everybody else.
Yeah, that's like our former co-host. He loved raisin salads and raisins in his potato salad.
he puts potatoes in his raisin salad.
He does. I mean, I'm just saying that. But that's our former co-host. We don't want to rehash the past. I mean, why do we care if Patrick Mahomes puts ketchup on his steak? Why do we care?
Why do you care if it's Hunt's ketchup?
Why? I don't know. Why do I? Maybe because Hunt's is nowhere near as good as Heinz. But, you know, I'm not sponsored by Heinz, so I don't care. If Hunt sponsored me, I'd change my mind.
So, Loudbeard, I'm looking through the crazy news today.
Yeah, let me hear some of your crazy news stories. Anything good?
Yeah, I think we need to change professions. I think we need to become smugglers.
All right, I've thought about this. This has been a hot topic in my mind lately.
I'm not talking about, cocaine or marijuana or, anything of that sort. I want to smuggle turtles and tortoises.
Ooh, big business?
Yeah, especially in the Philippines. Filipino authorities found more than 1,500 smuggled turtles and tortoises.
What? Where do they smuggle them? It's not like smuggling a shiv into jail, is it?
Maybe you sneak in a snapping turtle into jail, and then you use that as a weapon. Those things are no joke, man. Have you ever had a run-in with a snapping turtle?
Oh no, I have. I don't get close to them. Those things.
I caught one
aggressive.
Fishing once. I caught one fishing, and I just cut the line. I'm not even coming near to unhook. Sorry, bud. You shouldn't have eaten my piece of bread. Have a
not
nice
even
day.
Worth it. Yeah. No.
I felt bad, but what am I going to do? Like, take the hook out and risk him chomping my fingers off?
No, it's not worth it. Yeah, you would lose a finger at least. Maybe another appendage. You don't know. It could have been dangerous.
Would have been dangerous.
Could have been, would have been, should have been.
Big
money in this smuggling. I mean, what does Manny Pacquiao think about this? He's the most famous Filipino I know.
And he's a huge politician there as well. Most people might not know that. He's an elected official. And the fine for smuggling in turtles is 200,000 pesos in the Philippines.
Wow.
People don't know that the Philippines was heavily colonized by the Spanish. So they use a lot of Spanish things like the pesos.
Nice. Nice. Hey, I don't know if you heard this or not, but somebody paid Mike Trout a lot of pesos.
Oh, man, let me find out how many pesos. Hold on.
Do the conversion.
I'm going to do the conversion right now.
Well, today is opening day of Major League Baseball, so we're starting out with the Mariners and the A's today. Yeah.
This early? I thought it was late, like the 28th or something.
No, today is the
March 20th is opening day.
Yes.
God, they
the MLB
they
season
earlier and earlier every year.
Yeah, but it's not like a full slate of games. It's season is kicking off in Japan with the Mariners
that makes more
and
sense.
A's.
Because I'm pretty sure it's still snowing in Boston and Detroit and all over the place.
But it's still to me that's opening day though. It's kicking off. I guess the real opening day is when they have every team playing and.
Right. So the team games that are in Japan today they count towards the regular season.
Yes, they do. So it's the official start of the season. I guess I'll say that instead of opening day, because opening day is a different day, right? It's that day where everybody's playing and it's just all out. But today is the official start of the Major League Baseball season. We got the Athletics and the Mariners going at it in Japan. You know, I talked about it quite a bit yesterday on the show about Ichiro, but this is he's going to be out there playing and. I saw quotes out there some of the young Japanese players were calling him almost like a baseball god in Japan, and that's what they think of this guy. So big deal over there. Some of the things going on for this big celebration, baseball wants to make it fun. They're trying to capitalize on that Japanese baseball market, which I think is fantastic. So they've got guys Ricky Henderson and King Griffey Jr., whether they're going to either throw out a ball or be up in the batter's box for the opening pitch or doing something special to honor those guys. They also have this guy, Masanari Murakami, I had to say that correctly, who was the first player ever to transfer from the Japanese Baseball League to Major League Baseball. They have him being honored. So they're really making a big deal about this Japan Major League Baseball connection, because there's a lot of players that come over from Japan, including not today, but tomorrow, the starter for the Mariners is going to be making his first Major League Baseball start since he came over from the Japanese League. His name is Yusei Kikuchi. So we're excited to see him play. But Major League Baseball, it's back. We're
what
ready.
What was that name again?
Kikuchi.
God bless you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So I'm excited, man. Baseball, I know it's kind of a like old-timey, slow sport, but I still have a lot of love for it in my heart. I played baseball when I was younger. Collecting baseball cards was like such a big deal in the early 90s for me. It just, I don't know, when baseball season starts, I just get a warm, tingly feeling, Chris America. Warm and tingly.
This is a family show, buddy.
All right. All
right. Keep it above the belt. But you mentioned that Mike Trout signed a new contract. He is a multi-billionaire now, if he lived in the Philippines, because he'd be
okay.
His contract would be worth $22,672,610,000 or pesos.
Say that one more time. That's a lot of pesos. What's that number?
$22,672,610,000.
Do you think he could afford a fine if he was smuggling in tortoises and was fined by the Philippines?
He could go smuggle turtle crazy.
I think he would, too. Mike Trout, huh? Mike Trout.
He would dress up as a Ninja Turtle while he does it.
He would. I like Mike Trout. And I love this extension. This was eye-popping. When we saw that news story break, I know that you were kind of in the same boat as I was when it's just like your eyes just got open real wide. And if you're not living by the peso system like some of us in the world aren't, it's $430 million over 12 years. He said, Bryce Harper, hold my beer.
Hold my $430 million beer.
So Bryce Harper, what, just a week or two ago, got that $330 million deal over 13 years.
Yeah, but with taxes and cost of living and housing in L.A., it's basically the same contract.
Okay, I see where you're going there, but that's a lot of money. You say $100 million difference? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job there.
It's a ton of money, man. 12 years, so it adds up to be around $35 million a year on average. But he's still not making, I'm just realizing this, like he's still not making as much as Steph Curry. So like their contracts are longer and they're guaranteed he's going to make $430 million where Steph Curry's not guaranteed to make $430 million. I mean, he could tank the next two or three seasons, and then nobody wants to sign him again. But, I mean, I doubt that'll happen. But, I mean, what would you rather have, the 12-year $430 million or whatever 5- or 6-year deal that Steph Curry signed for $40 million a year?
No, the 12 years better, right? Like, you know that you're not going anywhere. You're going to be making that money no matter what. And longevity is important. So 12 years, 13-year contracts in baseball are definitely better for the players. Because like you said, in NBA, now a guy like Steph Curry, like a guy like LeBron James, these guys are going to get paid because they're going to be good for a long time. But if you remember, Steph Curry had serious ankle injuries. So he had a really light contract extension before he got into this big contract. And if he had a severe ankle injury and got injured once his contract was done, and he couldn't get back on the court, he's done. He's absolutely done. Where this guarantees for Mike Trout 12 years of automatic payments, guaranteed money. So the NBA contracts are guaranteed, but because they're shorter, you're talking 4, 5, 6 years. You're not talking 12 or 13 years. So to me, the better deal is that long-term extension. Just you never know what life's going to hit at you, or you know what's going to come at you in life. So having that guaranteed money for a longer period of time, to me, that's worth it.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, man. I think it saved us from another offseason of where is this guy going to go? And stringing a team along and everything else, because he still had 2 years left on the contract. So it was good that the Angels were able to get this contract signed now, 2 years in advance. And maybe they can show the rest of the MLB how it's supposed to be done. Maybe this was something that the Nationals should have done.
Yeah, it's definitely something the Nationals should have done. Now, Bryce Harper, he was holding out for more money. Now, Trout, he gets his money, but the Angels were smart. They knew that the longer that this went on, the more distraction it would be and the more likelihood that Trout would go somewhere else. And I think Bryce Harper, when he was, what he said to the media, like, oh, he would reach out to Mike Trout, and it became like a tampering deal. I think that the Angels, as soon as they saw that, they said, oh, no, this isn't going to happen to us. We need this guy. And Mike Trout, even though he's a little bit under the radar guy, everybody in the baseball world knows who he is, but he's not flashy. He's not that guy that comes out and it demands attention like a Bryce Harper. But he has been the best baseball player since he's came into the league. He's had the best WAR and his just averages and just everything about this guy. Statistically, he is the prototypical perfect baseball player. And the Angels needed to do this. They saw that their you know, cash cow was going to walk out the door if they didn't do something and didn't do something quick. And they were ready to back up that Brinks truck and do what they had to do. So, to me, kudos to the Angels for making this happen, because Trout is a world difference maker, and they need to keep him on their team.
Yes, for sure, man. And I'm going to check out Albert Pujols' contract here, see how long he has left. Because that was kind of a bad contract for the Angels, and I think it's really hindered them. And I would like to see Mike Trout be successful. So I'm excited on one hand that he's signing with the Angels and that it's out of the way. But on the other hand, man, I don't like seeing the best baseball player, the best any player in any league, on a really crappy team that never makes the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting some talent. They have Ohtani, right? So Ohtani is that two-way player from Japan that came over, and they've got him. Pujols, yeah, he's still mildly productive, but you're right, it's an albatross contract.
Yeah, he's got 3 years left. He's got this season, the season after that, and the following season. He's currently 39, so he will be 42 when this contract is... Oh, man, you hate to be paying a guy that's 42, $30 million.
Yeah, but they know that going into these contracts. They make those decisions. They say, okay, we're going to pay you a 10-year contract. At the end, you'll be 42 and won't be as productive. But we're hoping in that first 6 or 7 years that we get, like, the prime out of you, right? Like, we want the best player we can get for 6 or 7 years. And then if we get a little bit of a shell of yourself the last end of the contract, we're already considering that dead money. The problem was Pujols never played as good with the Angels as he did when he was with the Cardinals. He was a disappointment from the very beginning. He had a couple okay seasons, but he was never that superstar that they had paid the money to buy a superstar. He never ended up being that. So this is one of the biggest disappointing contracts ever made in Major League Baseball, was the Pujols one.
Yeah, and I'm looking, it was a 10-year, $240 million contract. 2012 was when he signed that. How crazy is it that we're only, 7 years removed from that? And I remember that was an eye-popping contract. Now, if you saw that, you'd be like, Pujols didn't get paid.
Yeah, and maybe that's the other deal with these long contracts. You realize that the market just continues to go up and up and up. So the longer the contract extends out, the less valuable it looks as a contract, right? So we might say in 10 years, like, oh my gosh, Trout only signed for $430 million. The Yankees just signed Aaron Judge for $800 million. Like, that could easily happen.
Oh, it can definitely happen. But on the flip side, if you're Pujols, you're sitting there thinking in year five, when you haven't lived anywhere near up to your expectations, that you're like, well, at least the money's in the bank.
That's right. That's that guarantee, right?
I don't have to sign another deal. I'm pretty much set for life.
Yep. Yeah, that Pujols one, gosh, he pulled the wool over their eyes, right?
Yeah. Crazy,
all right, so
man.
Hey, Other contracts I just want to mention real quick, and then we'll get into other things. Alex Bregman gets a nice $100 million extension for 5 years with the Astros. Very nice there. Great player. And this is almost as eye-popping as the Mike Trout extension. Brandon Lowe of the Tampa Bay Rays gets a $24 million contract. So for the Rays, that's like an $800 million contract because the Rays don't pay their players. So 6 years, $24 million, no state tax in Florida. Yeah, this is like the best value out there. I can't believe it. The Rays actually paid more than $500,000 for a player.
So they'll pay that guy, but they won't pay Snell?
Yeah, that's yep. Okay. I mean, Brandon Lowe's a great utility player.
No, he is.
$24 million over 6 years, so it's really not that great of a contract. But when you look at the Rays, they don't pay anybody. So this right here shows that this guy
they need
they
to
actually
start
like
paying
him.
People, man. They could fill out that stadium if they did.
Yeah.
Or maybe they could start saving up money for a new one.
They need to do something. It's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's sad. All right. So that was Baseball Talk brought to you by Baseball.
Oh, Loudbeard, I keep forgetting to tell you, I finished watching the Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, so what'd you think?
Overall, I thought it was really good. A-. It was
A-?
A different show. It wasn't what I was expecting. When you see what it's about, you're thinking, okay, this is going to be another typical superhero-type show, and it was anything but that. It was a show about this really dysfunctional family where people have and they had like odd superpowers, like the dude that could talk to the dead. Until like the towards the end of the show, you're like, okay, what's the point of this superpower? Okay, so he could talk to the dead.
Like, yeah,
what are you gonna like come to the bank robbery and tell me my fortune? I don't understand.
Yeah, and socially, it seemed like it was more along the lines of where we're at in America today, right? Like, one guy's openly gay. Well, we don't usually show that on superhero movies or as superheroes, you know, like, and again, talking to the dead, drug problems. Like, there was just so many typical problems that Americans and or people just in general go through that you kind of can relate, maybe not fully, but like on some level to some of the dysfunction that's going on. Because you know as well as I do that we all have some dysfunction in our life. Everybody does.
Yes. A lot of dysfunction. And so as they go through the list of superpowers for these guys, I'm sitting here thinking, like, man, these are some of the lamest superpowers I've ever heard of. Like, one guy's just strong. Okay, that's generic. Another person does this thing where she says, I heard a rumor, and then she can make you do whatever you want, which I guess is kind of cool, but then she never really used it throughout the show. And I mean, the show explains why she never uses it, and it adds to the storyline. And then you got the kid that can teleport and time travel, which the time traveling thing, it was kind of hard to follow towards the middle, but then they tied it all together pretty nicely.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But
so overall, A-, you're giving this show?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was decent. It was good. I did not like, I won't say, we'll talk off air. I don't want to give away any spoilers or anything like that at the end, but I'll tell you afterwards, after the show's over.
Okay, yeah, we take it off air. So you're kind of talking a little superhero action. I just want to mention that it's official. Disney's acquisition of Fox is a done deal. I think today at midnight or last night at midnight or something like that, it became 100% official.
Go ahead.
Say what?
Sorry, I interrupted. I thought you were done and I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Say what? Oh, so Disney's acquisition of Fox. What this means to me, and this is all it means because I don't really care otherwise, one, that Disney is becoming a monopoly, and we need to take down the mouse. And I'm not going to say that on air because, I already did.
Except for Disney World. Keep coming to Disney World, everybody.
Yeah,
never stop. Come in the billions, please, so I don't have to pay state taxes.
Yes, yes. But what it means to me is the Marvel gets back some of their properties, which include X-Men, Deadpool, and Fantastic Four. And I would say that other than Deadpool, which has been fantastic, X-Men from time to time has been disappointing.
Yes.
And Fantastic Four has been pretty disappointing. And if I can think, you know, Marvel, eventually this whole Avengers arc, and it's going to get played out, right? So how are they going to reinvent themselves? How is Marvel going to sustain putting out 3 to 4 movies every year? the key is getting Fantastic Four, X-Men, and Deadpool into that rotation. So then it's not just this Avengers group. Now all of a sudden, for X-Men, they can go in a different direction. Fantastic Four, they can go in a different direction. So Marvel just kind of really opened up the next 10 years of superhero movies, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I kind of do want to see, though, Deadpool meet up with the Avengers. Like, I want to see Tony Stark and Deadpool quip at each other.
Oh, that would be fun. I mean, two guys with very sharp wits going at it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the problem is they'll taper down Deadpool because Avengers is more of a kids movie. So I don't know. Maybe they should bring Tony Stark into Deadpool's world.
Yeah, there's so many different directions they can go. It just opens up this door of possibilities. So instead of Marvel going deep into this comic book realm where they start bringing out like C-minus players and trying to make movies out of them, which they've kind of done, they can go in and start going to, hey, let's do a Wolverine solo movie, but make it so cool that the world is just in awe. Because Marvel has the ability to do that, because that's what they've done with all these other characters. Think of how they built up Iron Man.
I thought Logan was great, man.
Yeah, Logan was great.
I thought Wolverine was the only character that they did justice to with the individual stories and everything. Now, do you want to see the new Phoenix movie?
I do, but I'm not. My expectations are pretty low.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. I know it's not going to be a great movie, but
because the last time they tried the whole Phoenix thing, I wasn't impressed.
No. It's a big story in the X-Men universe, but it's, I don't know. It's not.
It's falling flat.
Yeah. Hey, I forgot. We're gonna go sports and then pop culture and then Disney
We want.
Whatever. I do what I want. So Brewers, I forgot to mention this one last baseball story. The Brewers are now talking to Craig Kimbrell, who is the last like big name free agent that's still out there. At least in my opinion, he's the one big free agent that's still available. He's been a dominant closer for so long, and he's one of those guys that wanted to get this huge contract, but, you know, like, all these teams aren't willing to pay these huge contracts. But as soon as the Bryce Harper deal came out, and now we're seeing Bregman getting paid, Trout getting paid, it seems like some of these teams are loosening up. Season's getting ready to start, so Brewers are in talks with Craig Kimbrell. It isn't known how deep the talks are, but that would really help out that Brewers squad that overachieved last year. If they could get a dominant closer in there, this could be a fun team to watch throughout the season.
Yeah, it would be, man, and we'll see how that plays out.
Yep. So
go Brewers.
Go Brewers.
I know a friend of the show, Sean Illinois, won't like that take, though, because he's a big Cubs fan.
No, he won't. He won't. But I know other people that will like that take. Former podcast friends of ours, BSR, a couple of the hosts from that defunct show, big Brewers fans. They like to get into it a little bit with Sean on Twitter, which is always a good time to watch. So I got a couple different directions we could go. So last night we had March Madness kickoff. Those games were actually absolutely electric. I'll go into that because I said on air yesterday, and I owe myself this.
What are you?
An idiot sandwich.
I talked about how I hated these play-in games, but for some reason, I just had this feeling in my gut. I'm like, maybe I overplayed this a little bit yesterday. Maybe maybe I was wrong. Maybe I need to eat an idiot sandwich. So I throw on the FDU, Fairleigh Dickinson University versus
Farley.
Prairie View. Oh, I said, yeah, Farley. Whatever, FDU, we'll stick with it. Farley Dickinson A&M University. No,
not
Prairie
just
View
University.
A&M. Yeah, whatever. These teams, I've never heard of them before today.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Probably never hear them again.
Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. I really had never heard of Farley Dickinson University or Prairie View A&M University. I had never heard of them, or before yesterday when we talked about them. The game was absolutely electric. You could tell that both of these teams were playing their hearts out. And, I mean, for FDU, they go down big. Prairie View was dominating early in the second half. And I thought, oh, man, this is just going to be a blowout. And then all of a sudden, there's this young man named Jaleel Jenkins. I think he's got to weigh about 110 pounds, and he's about 5'6". But the dude took over the game. He scored like 9 buckets in a row, and he was so fast. that nobody could keep up with them. He looked absolutely dominant. They also have another guard on their team. I forget the guy's first name, but his last name was Edge. So I'm just going to call him Edge because I think that's a cool basketball name. So we had Jenkins and Edge going at it, and they were both playing for FDU. And these guys lit it on fire. They came back from a huge deficit and end up carrying Farley Dickinson, FDU, to a big victory, 82-76. This is how we start it. I'm saying it already. That was the game of the tournament so far.
Yes, and their prize, they get to turn around and play Gonzaga tomorrow. Congratulations, FDU.
I actually want to watch it now.
You want to see how
Edge
and Christian
do? That's my Cinderella. I mean, I don't think they're going to beat Gonzaga, but if they could even like make it close, like if it's, you know, 8 minutes left and they're only down by six or something, to me, that's a win for this program. Because who are they, right? Where are they coming from? It's a 16th seed going up against a one seed. But to me, this could be that Cinderella team that gets them their names up on that marquee when they really take Gonzaga to the end. Now, again, I'm not going to say Gonzaga's going to lose, but I think this could be a fun game to watch. So I'm looking forward to it. But that is their prize. You get the number one team, Gonzaga, that you got to go up against. So, yeah, not definitely a victory there, but I'm sure these guys are enjoying just the ride, right? You enjoy the ride as you go along. Other matchup last night, Temple versus Belmont.
The Bruins.
The Bears.
The Bears.
So Temple, the Owls, go up against the Bears. So if I would say if a bear and an owl got in a fight, who would you think would win?
Probably the bear.
That's who won. Who won. You're right.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get it, but you do it. You do it. You understand what I'm thinking at all times.
Always. It's how our bromance works.
Yeah. So I didn't finish this game. I was watching this one. I fell asleep about halftime. I'm a lightweight when we got this early morning 6 a.m. show. I just can't handle it.
Yeah, that's one thing about the tournament is you get these later games early on in the tournament because there's so many games to be played. Like tomorrow it starts at 12:15, Minnesota versus Louisville. But we have two games tonight. We got North Carolina Central and North Dakota State, and then St. John's and Arizona State.
The St. John's Arizona State game I'm actually looking forward to. I want to see St. John's do well. Chris Mullen is the coach of that team, and I always liked that guy. He was great as a player, and now that he's a coach for St. John's, I think he's going to be fun to watch.
But now you're not going to sleep on NC Central and ND State though anymore, are you?
I want to, but I can't. You can't sleep on any of these teams, and this is where the madness is catching me. I have my two brackets filled out. I did one on 12-Ounce Sports Radio. If you go to the website, 12OunceSportsRadio.com, you can go on and fill out a March Madness bracket. It's never too late. Just still do it. I think you can still do it. The play-in games don't count yet, so you can still do your bracket. And you can also go, if you want to go to Minuteman Tickets, I signed up for a bracket with the Craft Brewed Sports Group. You just search Craft Brewed Sports at Minuteman Tickets, and you can do their March Madness. So between the two, between the 12-Ounce Sports Radio bracket, between the March Minuteman bracket, I'm ready. And the madness is seeping into me. And FDU last night, they got me pumped. I'm ready. I don't care who's playing. This March Madness, I am ready for Chris America. I am ready. I was born ready.
You're going to be one of those statistics that brings down their working production down because they're too busy watching games at 12:15 on a Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Chris America, we've gone a little bit over our commercial break here, but I just wanted to let you know that yesterday the perfect scenario played out. Stay tuned.
Sounds perfect to me.
Hey, Kawhi, what are you laughing at, man? This isn't funny. Fantasy sports reimagined. FanDuel, that's what I'm talking about. It is more than just fantasy sports. It's the best way to watch the games, win real cash, and bring the action right to your living room. Just choose a contest, make your picks, watch, and win. And if you go to FanDuel.com/STR today, you can get a $5 deposit bonus. Once again, that's FanDuel.com/STR. Come on, man. This is not a laughing matter.
When I'm working hard, I build up a thirst for sports. That's when I grab a cold 12-Ounce Sports Radio. 12 Ounce Sports Radio. Quench your sports thirst.
If you've been listening to Scout Team Radio for a long time, you know that myself, Loudbeard, has placed a bet or two in his day. That's right, I've lost the beard bet, I lost the romper bet, but one place I don't like losing is when I bet money, and I can easily do that at MyBookie. That's right, you can go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code 12OZSports, and get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Hey, guess what? That is a lot of money. Do it.
Hey everybody, it's your favorite patriot, Chris America, and I want you to listen every single weekday, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and on replays from 11 a.m. to noon of Scout Team Sports. Listen, George Washington did not cross over the ocean blue in 1492 to defeat the Nazis, so you can listen to the same tired national clickbait sports stories. So once again, tune in to us every single morning, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., and then we replay from 11 to noon. I will see you there, and God bless America.
All right, welcome back. Thank you all for listening in. Once again, we're Scout Team Radio. He's Chris America. I'm Loudbeard. We bring it to you hot each and every AM. That's right, Monday through Friday, 6 AM on 12 Ounce Sports Radio, coming in hot. We also record each show and drop it as a podcast. You can catch that podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or our website, scoutteamradio.com. Make sure you rate us, review us, subscribe, do all of that fun stuff on all of those podcast hosts. We're also part of the Barn Burner Podcast Network. You can check them out at barnburner.ca. If you want to get social with us, we are on Twitter. We like to tweet live on air. So if you are right now on Twitter and you want to hit us up, check out at Scout Team Radio on Twitter. Oh, man. Without further ado, I just got to keep going. We got to get this show back on the road. And I have so much to cover today. We have so much to cover today. But, Chris America, I have one question for you. The Capitals are visiting the White House, and I need to know. Are we going Big Mac? Are we going Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich? Are we going Whopper? If you go to the White House, what is going to be your fast food or your food of choice out of this selection of all this fast food?
We got to go something different, right? Like, it's hockey, it's Canada, so maybe like a Tim Hortons?
Ooh,
can they fly in some Tim Hortons?
Yeah, there we go.
In there?
I don't know
if they serve food at Tim Hortons. I've never been to a Tim Hortons, but I know when I watch some hockey games, especially up in the northern region and in the Canada teams, you see all the it's a fast food company. You see all the Tim Hortons along the wall of the rink and everything. So, yeah, always serving fresh coffee, hot beverages, cold beverages, and many quick meal options is what their website says.
Yeah, they're basically like a Wawa.
Yeah, it'll hit the spot any time of day. That's a guarantee I can get behind.
Because
when I'm hungry,
a hockey quote.
Yeah, when I'm hungry, I need my food to hit the spot.
What spot would that be?
I don't know. I just know that when I'm done eating, I just say, "Man, that really hit the spot."
So you're thinking bringing in some Tim Hortons? Okay, that's pretty good.
Let's see, sandwiches and hot bowls menu. Let's see what we got here. Gonna go through their menu. There we go. We got some breakfast sandwiches. Oh, I love me some breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah, there we go. Sausage, egg, and cheese right now.
Oh, you got a
croissant.
Grilled,
that would be so good.
A grilled breakfast wrap. So, you know, it's just your typical wrap with some sausage, egg, and cheese. Boom. Give it to me. I'm sold.
I hope our correspondents up at the White House are listening in right now.
Okay, so they're hash browns. They have like the, I don't know what shape it is, but that like oblong football kind of, but it's not really a football shape, but it's like the closest shape I can think of, kind of like what McDonald's has, right?
Okay, yeah.
Which hash browns do you prefer? That like that little hash brown, I almost said hashtag, hash brown patty, or like Burger King where they have the little hash brown bites, or do you like the good old fashioned like diner type hash browns where it's like the shredded potatoes?
Oh, you're hitting me hard with the hard-hitting questions right now this morning, Chris America.
That's what
I don't
we
know
do
if
here
I can answer this.
Scout Team Radio.
Now, to me, the McDonald's is the classic one because when I was a child, I used to love to eat the McDonald's hash brown. It was such a treat if we would get McDonald's in the morning. It wasn't very often, but when we did, that hash brown, I just have such great memories. Now, I do think Burger King has such a nice little niche to when they've got the little handheld Pop'ems. But I don't know that they're as good as that McDonald's classic. And when I go to a diner, they have good ones usually. They're nice and greasy and delicious. But I'm going to have to say that McDonald's, to me, is that number one hash brown.
So that like little oblong patty-looking shape thing?
Yeah, that's the one.
So I'm going to go agree with you but disagree with you. Like, I do love me the hand because it's just – it's so perfect. You can hold it in your hand. You can eat it while you drive. They're never really cooked poorly. Where I feel like Burger King, I've gotten several bad batches of hash browns from Burger King. Like they just leave it soaked in the grease for too long or something to where it's just a big ball of grease basically. But to me, nothing beats that home style shredded up, especially when it's fried just right and it's nice and crispy. That little shredded potatoes. Love me that with some country fried steak and gravy. Forget it. That hits the spot every time.
All right. I can't disagree with you either, my friend. I just can't disagree with you. So Capitals, they can go and ask for hash browns maybe. Now that's what we'll say at the White House.
Tim Hortons, man. Hook it up.
Tim Hortons. Hook them up.
They got paninis. Right.
Paninis.
Yeah.
They got a little bit of everything. I'm telling you, it's the Wawa of the North. We'll call it that.
Oh, they got Tuscan chicken panini. And then I love this, Italiano. Not just Italian. No, this is Italiano grilled bagel sandwich.
Hmm.
Listen to this right here, buddy. Like, if you're not signed up, I don't know what will. Ham, pepperoni, smoked mozzarella, baby spinach, red onions, and pesto sauce served on a freshly baked sun-dried tomato Asiago bagel grilled to perfection.
Okay.
Although now, nope, I changed my mind. I want the pretzel turkey bacon grilled bagel. I mean, these are like mouthful, like menu items.
Yeah, they do a good job. They do a good job. Well, Chris America, I'm going to move on, man, because we got a lot to cover. And I guess it's not really a game, but I just want to play, you know, that game, Kevin Bacon, 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon. You ever play that one?
Mm-hmm.
No,
I was gonna say they have bacon on that pretzel turkey bacon grilled bagel.
Turn off the menu. Just turn it off right now.
I want to take our turtle. I want to take our turtle smuggling money and buy a Tim Hortons and have one here in Orlando.
Put it away. Just do it.
All right, go ahead.
So I'm gonna do 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon, but I'm gonna do 6 degrees to LeBron James, and it's kind of the Lakers' destruction. I'm going to play a couple scenarios out here for you. I just wanted to get your thought. All right. So, first story, Doc Rivers denies link to Lakers. Okay. He says, I'm going nowhere. Well, here's the deal. The Lakers already have a coach, Luke Walton. So since LeBron James has come into town, we know that the coaches never quite survive the LeBron James effect. So now, not only have we assumed Luke Walton is going to be fired, but we're already looking for new coaches. And Doc Rivers has been somebody that could have been pinned as being the next coach. But Doc Rivers says, nah, I am not going on the LeBron James team just to get fired in a season and a half.
Did he say no or did he say yes? Because if his quote is, I'm not going anywhere, that statement is true if he signs with the Lakers. He'll stay in his same house. He'll be going to the same arena to watch his team play. He technically wouldn't be going anywhere.
So he's going to keep his house in Orlando. He's going to still live there he does now.
He'll always have that house, and then he'll keep his house in L.A. as well.
Okay.
Or his apartment, or his condo, or his bungalow, whatever he's deciding to live in these days.
All right. So
Maybe he has a tiny house.
Yeah. That's so hot right now. Now, the Nets and the Kings play last night, and you said, why would you want to watch this? And I said, the young talent of De'Aaron Fox and D'Angelo Russell.
I mean, they're no Jenkins and Edge.
Well, I'll be honest with you. When you hear this, you might change your mind. So I said it would be worth the watch, and I was right. So the last night, the Nets are down by 25 going into the fourth quarter. They're down by 25 points in the fourth quarter, and D'Angelo Russell carries this team back to a 123-121 victory. D'Angelo Russell has a career-high 44 points, including 27 points in the fourth quarter. And you know why that's significant?
Why is that significant?
Because the Lakers traded away D'Angelo Russell as part of their efforts to bring in LeBron James and clear cap space and make moves for LeBron to come in and for them to get more salary. So a young star in the making in Los Angeles gets moved because of LeBron James, and D'Angelo Russell scores 44 points, brings his team back, and the Nets are in the playoffs. Are the Lakers in the playoffs? Is LeBron James in the playoffs?
No. So you're saying LeBron James made the Lakers worse?
Yes, this is the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon game with LeBron James's destruction of the Los Angeles Lakers. All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit about that D'Angelo Russell trade. So you trade away D'Angelo Russell, and you get back Brook Lopez and the 27th pick. And so Brook Lopez has a fine year with the Lakers last year. Well, then he comes for free agency, and they're getting LeBron James in, and they're like, we can't sign guys. We can't keep big contracts. We have to get rid of guys because LeBron James is coming in, and we want to sign a superstar. So after Brook Lopez had a really solid year with the Lakers last year, they let him walk. And you know what Brook Lopez does?
What's that?
He signs with the Milwaukee Bucks. Are you eating hash browns?
No,
you're eating hash browns right now.
I took a drink of water. As soon as I took a sip, you're like, do you know what that is? And I was like, you mother effer.
So Brook Lopez, he's not retained by the Lakers. He was actually kind of insulted because the Lakers didn't really go after him. So what does he do? He signs with the Milwaukee Bucks. So the Milwaukee Bucks last night, they were playing the Los Angeles Lakers. And since the Lakers are already out of it, the Lakers, they go ahead and sit LeBron James. So LeBron's not even playing. So now they're out of the playoffs. LeBron's not even playing. But you know who is playing? Brook Lopez. And Brook Lopez scores 28 points, 9 rebounds, and straight up dominates the Los Angeles Lakers and leads his Milwaukee Bucks 115-101. And we've come full circle where LeBron James has destroyed this franchise. They've made terrible moves, and guys like D'Angelo Russell and Brook Lopez are dominating in the NBA, and the Lakers are a puddle of mush.
Boy, was it ever, man. Golly. You could not have predicted this coming.
No. No, this is crazy.
You know what else is crazy?
What's that?
You mentioned three guys in 6 minutes, and that's LeBron James's finals record.
You always got an angle. You always have
coming at you
an
from
angle.
All sides, man.
I don't know what your deal is, but you have always got an angle.
I'm
all
just
right,
good at
man.
Geometry, man.
All right, so I mentioned this perfect scenario that's playing out.
Yeah.
Right.
What's that?
So one of the masterminds in the NFL, John Gruden, he went ahead and signed Vontaze Burfict last night. So what do you think about this? Making some waves here.
I think it proves that no matter how terrible of a person you are, you're always going to get signed if you're good at football.
Okay.
Like, this guy should have been hanging around for a really long time in free agency. Teams should have been doing their due diligence to vet this guy and everything, but no, that's not what they do. They just said, oh, you're a good football player. We don't care that you've been suspended however many times. We don't care how much money you've been fined. We don't necessarily care how many cheap shots you give out. We want you because you're talented.
All right. It's true, though. It's all about talent. And we talk about it. I mean, Kareem Hunt, he gets cut immediately by the Chiefs. He's picked up on another team, and we move on, right? It doesn't
right.
matter. That past doesn't matter. It's not going to continue to catch up to you.
Very few guys. He still even hadn't gotten his suspension yet, too. So they just signed him blindly.
Yeah, they knew that he was going to play. They knew. These guys, I don't know. It's crazy. But yeah, perfect scenario for the Raiders. Now, does this, again, I've asked you this a couple times because I feel like every time I turn around, the Raiders are making another good move. They bring in Antonio Brown. They bring in Vontaze Burfict. They're trying to reestablish both sides of the ball, getting some offensive weapons, getting some defensive weapons. They have a ton of draft picks. Are you sold that John Gruden is the greatest coach of all time?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I mean, okay. He'd be a good GM. Maybe he's doing that. And now we don't know. Is this homeboy John Gruden, or is this your boy Mike Mayock making all these moves?
I think it's a symbiotic relationship. They're doing it together. They're working together to come up with these great, great moves.
Yeah, I don't. We'll see. We'll see how this plays out. They'll probably be highly rated, highly overrated going into the season, but I think they're going to disappoint people. I think they will. They're in a tough division. I don't know who they pull for their NFC schedule, but I don't think it's going to be as good as everybody says it's going to be. John Gruden will find a way to mess this up.
Oh, big time. Big time. I mean,
we've seen a lot of talented teams in Tampa that he ran into the ground. I mean, we mentioned how he had Keyshawn Johnson. He did nothing with that guy. He had a lot of defensive talent. Even after the Super Bowl, he still had, you know, your Lynches and your Barbers and all those other guys. I'm not sure how long Warren Sapp stayed on those teams, but, you know, and he did nothing with them. He won that one Super Bowl, and then that was it.
That was it. That was it. Now, a couple other big names that got signed. Packers. The Packers are letting their players just walk. Former Packer Clay Matthews signs with the Rams. So Rams are continue to keep up with this arms race where they're just getting these veteran guys that still have a little bit left in the tank. And Randall Cobb signs with the Cowboys. So wide receiver that I'd say a few years ago his star was getting ready to start really just shining brightly. And then he's been kind of disappointing since then. So I'm okay with a disappointing wide receiver getting signed by the Cowboys. I'm good with that.
Yeah, you're okay with that?
I'm good with that. I'm.
You're like,
not that I
Case
hate the
Keenum
Cowboys
now.
Or anything, but
you're like, we have Case Keenum now. I have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, that's right. The Redskins don't need to worry because they have Case Keenum. And the Cowboys, they just signed Randall Cobb, disappointing wide receiver. It doesn't help them. Doesn't help them one bit.
I mean, Case Keenum's been to an NFC championship. Have the Cowboys been to an NFC championship anytime recently?
Not that I can recollect.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Case Keenum has more playoff wins than the Cowboys do. In like the last 5 or 10 years.
Yep. Hey, one little bit of college football news. I just wanted to say Tate Martell, he gets his hardship waiver is official. He is the young guy from Ohio State that transferred over to Miami. So anytime these guys transfer, we're always like, oh, they're going to have to sit out a year. Is it just me or can you get a hardship waiver for basically anything?
I think if you go to a Power 5 school that can potentially earn the NCAA a lot of money and you're a good player, you get a hardship waiver. It's what it is now. And now I just wish they would just stop the charade, stop the charades, stop the facade, stop the facade. Just let everybody transfer whenever they want.
What about the Shiraz? It's a nice full-bodied wine.
Yes, the Shiraz is good. You know, it's got a good like oaky smell to it. Make sure you swirl your glass and sniff it because that's what everybody else does.
That is, and I have one last, I need to get your opinion on question, Chris America.
I'm good at
and
getting
that
my
is
opinion.
Woodstock. Woodstock 50. The lineup has been announced, and it's got headliners such as Jay-Z, Miley Cyrus, Imagine Dragons. This kind of had some mixed reactions. A lot of people, especially on social media, right? Twitter, there's no pulling punches on Twitter. They would tell you exactly how they feel. And a lot of people were kind of looking at this saying, you know, this was like a big rock festival, and now all of a sudden it looks like it's the Grammys. What are your thoughts on this Woodstock lineup that just got announced?
I want to hate on it, but then I'm sitting here thinking there's not a lineup that people wouldn't hate. Because, number one, I think the biggest problem with these like new Woodstocks that they're coming up with is the fact that the first Woodstock was so organic. It was such like a new thing. A festival had never been done before. And so it was just kind of like a right at the whim. We just kind of put this together, and you didn't really know who was going to show up or who wasn't going to show up, and it was just organic, right?
Yeah.
Now,
I mean,
now it just feels so commercialized. Like last time they did it, if I'm remembering correctly, like MTV was like heavily involved, and they're the ones that put it on, and it just seems so commercialized. But I don't know, man, because you sit there and you look at the lineup of the first Woodstock, and yeah, it was a rock festival, but it was still all of the major groups of that time, all of the mainstream groups. It's not like they had some like unknown acts there or whatever. It was all the mainstream groups, and these are the mainstream groups of today. Jay-Z, you can't get more, you can't get bigger than Jay-Z unless you want to go Beyonce, right?
Yep.
I mean, you just switch out Jay-Z for The Who. Or whoever else was there. I don't know who else was there. I mean, Jimi Hendrix was an actor.
Janis Joplin.
I mean, who? Janis Joplin and Katy Perry. Like, I know I'm like, everybody's like, what? You can't compare those two. Why not? Like, they're musicians. Like, they are. Sorry, it's a new day. It's a new era. Music evolves. They're just as talented musically as Janis Joplin, although I'm not a big Janis Joplin fan. I think her voice is annoying. Like her version of Silent Night is like nails on a chalkboard to me.
Yeah, that's a hot take. But
I'm thinking of Stevie Nicks. I'm not thinking of Janis Joplin. I'm thinking of Stevie Nicks. My bad. My apologies.
You're such a music connoisseur.
I think they should just call it something else, though. Let Woodstock be Woodstock. You know, like don't we have like the iHeart Festival or something? Isn't that every year in Las Vegas?
Yeah. And that's kind of what this is, except now they're calling it Woodstock just to get that commercialism of it.
It's just a name now. It has no connection or bearing to what happened in 1969.
That is true. Well, sir,
yeah,
it's that time.
The Woodstock era is over just as this episode is over.
All right, great show. Thank you all for listening in. We appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Spotify podcast, anywhere you are, subscribe to the Scout Team Radio podcast.
Yeah, man. Hot. They got some, like, let's see. They got handcrafted grilled wraps. Oh, you can get a chicken fajita grilled wrap and an Angus steak fajita grilled wrap at Tim Hortons.
Are you still talking?
Yeah, you can get some broccoli cheddar soup. Oh, they got chili. Turkey and wild rice soup. Roasted red pepper gouda. Oh, potato bacon cheddar. And of course, clam chowder.
Hey, what's up there, listeners? This is your friendly neighborhood Loudbeard, and I'm here to tell you that there's two type of people in the world. Those that are on a podcast and those that want to be on a podcast. And if you are one of those out there that want to be on a podcast, one of the first decisions you will need to make is which podcast host you want to use. That's right. If you're thinking about starting a podcast, you need to check out Podbean. Here at Scout Team Radio, we have been using Podbean since the very beginning, and we absolutely love it. They are easy to use, and they have affordable options. Just go to podbean.com/STR. That's right, Scout Team Radio. podbean.com/STR to get started today. What are you waiting for?